there's a saying in the legislature, friends don't let friends run water bills. Perhaps friends don't let friends talk about funding water. We'll find out. So this is titled, Funding Water in the Desert, Should Users Pay? The short answer, as far as I'm concerned, is yes. It's interesting how you put slides on your screen and then you put them up there and they're a totally different color. This is an older slide, domestic water use per capita in gallons per day by state, 2005. Utah's number three here behind Nevada and Idaho. A little more up to date. They've combined two things and laid them on one graph, growth in population 2000 to 2015 and water use, domestic water use. There are states like that are growing, like Texas and Florida. I mean, if you look at both these slides, water use, increased water use per person tends to be a west of the Rocky Mountains issue because there's more rainfall east of the Rocky Mountains, right? This is from Council of State Governments West. It's a domestic water use per capita, but even within the western states, and this was, I think, 2 or 3 years ago data. I'm looking at my notes, and I didn't put the date down, but I can find. I know where the website is. So we're number two behind, we're number three behind Nevada and Idaho. This is a great interactive chart. You can push a button, and you can get any state in the West. The chart on the right is U.S., and the big 50% of the water use on average in the United States is for generating thermoelectric power, is for power plants. In Utah, it's ag. 70%, 75%, 80% is agriculture water. In most Western states, it's some variation on that theme. So that's where most our water goes. And there is a committee, and there's some good people working on some efficiency. There's some good bills coming in legislature. They're going to give people who have water rights, hopefully allow them to water bank. Colorado's been doing it for a little while, which would allow people to not lose their water right, but rent it out, let other people. There's some flexibility coming, which might help alleviate some of these issues that we're facing. But this is a chart I'd never seen before. This is from, I believe, the Hamilton Project, the Brookings Institution. So they've grouped states together, and they on your left axis, average annual precip, and that starts at zero and goes up to 70 inches of water a year. On the bottom axis is projected change in population. On the circle over on the right, Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, New Mexico, Utah, Wyoming, we have fastest growing population, least amount of water. So they coincide. Lots of people, lots of growth, not much water. So what are we going to do about it? This comes from, I would refer those of you who want a deeper dive to go to the Utah Foundation website. A few months ago in September, it was a 3 or 4 part study. They go into much greater nuance than I'm going to be able to do with you today. But this shows you a handful of, let's get something I can read, cities, improvement districts, metropolitan water districts, and water conservancy districts. The bar on the left that's kind of violet, it's kind of a ugly aqua on my computer screen, are water charges, what people pay for the use of their water. Sanpete is completely property taxes. Salt Lake City and Sandy looks like it's around 40%, 43%, 44% property taxes. There's some stuff that's faded out. It's very light blue on my screen. It's impact fees. You look at Washington County, maybe the biggest contributor to their operating funds are impact fees. And the next biggest is property taxes. And the smallest is water charges. White City, tucked down there, surrounded by Sandy, is completely water charges. Lots of variations on a theme all across the state of Utah. And one of the issues are a lot of the people who go home and look at your property tax statement and look at how many different water groups you pay taxes to. I pay to Central Utah Water, I pay to Salt Lake City, I pay stormwater, and I have an annual we're helping to pay for Bureau of Reclamation work that was done in the 40s, I think. Deer Creek Dam, which provides water for Utah County, Salt Lake County, and probably some other places I'm not aware of. Average per capita, this slide comes from Utah Rivers Council, Washington County, Kane County. These other cities are in the West, and they're arid states as well. And this is average per capita municipal water use. These are some of the reasons why Utah is very high on the list of states that use water per person per day on those charts. This also is from Utah Rivers Council, water prices in Western cities. One of the command and control techniques we've often used is to say, well, you're going to pay by use. So the bottom is St. George. They cap out over 25,000 gallons. These are July figures, $1.83 per 1,000 gallons. Seattle caps out at $11.80, Los Angeles $9.23, Denver $5.50, Las Vegas $4.86, St. George $1.83, Phoenix. You have a big line over on the left-hand side, which is a rough line to say left of this is indoor water use, out right of this is outdoor water use. So I've just pulled a few selected pieces out of three or four much longer reports, which I encourage you all to go read from Utah Foundation. Water rate revenues. They may not be as stable as property taxes, but Utah Foundation studies said they're not that variable, they're fairly stable. Market, the number two bullet, is important. Market distortions created by using property taxes for wholesale water may increase the overall cost of water. Sometimes it's not the person who delivers you the water that's charging the property tax that you may be paying for. It may be the wholesaler. A full reliance on water rates tends to provide stronger cost transparency. You may or may not be aware that 8 or 9 years ago, some researchers at Utah State University got a grant from the Bureau of Reclamation. They took two small towns. I understand there are 300,000 secondary water meters in Weber, Davis, Morgan County. They took one small town in Morgan County, one small town in Davis County, and they put meters on their secondary water. I was raised in Bountiful. And one of my tasks with my 84-year-old mother is going out and turning her water on and off at various times of the year. And they've got about, I don't know what Dad was thinking, but there are like six places around the entire yard you can hook up Weber water. My dad's annual fee is based on the square footage of his lot, not how much he uses. But you pay your secondary water fee according to how many square feet you have. So they had a couple of thousand hookups. During the course of the summer, starting when they turn it on in April or May to when they turn it off in October, they sent every individual the little thing we're all getting from Dominion Energy or Rocky Mountain Power, those of us who get it from there, and they say, compared to homes that are like yours, here's how your water use, here's how your electricity use, here's how your Dominion Energy use. So inside those two little towns, those two small communities in Morgan and Weber, they gave them a notice, didn't charge them one red cent more, and they said, here's how your water use compares to people with a lot similar to yours. They reduced their water consumption of their secondary water by 20%. And they were not charged one penny more. Because someone gave them a visual readout. And they went, I don't have to use that. I'm way high. My mother needs this desperately. Conservation from an increase in water rates might be limited in the short term, the Utah Foundation said, but it would increase over the longer term. Comparing Utah's water providers shows that on average, providers with 10% higher rates have 6.5% lower water use. Generally speaking, conservation is the cheapest way to meet demand for water, followed by ag conversion. Building new infrastructure is far more expensive. I will tell you that I got someone whispered in my ear at the end of the legislative session a year ago. Last summer, we worked with the Lieutenant Governor's office. We got Utah State University to come down and do a water audit of all the grass on Capitol Hill. I was in my office one summer morning, and I watched some people placing every few feet some white cones out on a section of the grass. I went out to talk to them. They were doing the water audit. The Utah State Research Lab, working water research, working with Salt Lake City Public Utilities, who provides all the water for Capitol Hill, said that if we fixed a few problems with the irrigation system on Capitol Hill and water differently in July and August, we could save up to 38% on our water. So I'm going to be looking this year at how many other acres and that's without taking out one square foot of sod. That's not xeriscaping. That's not changing landscape. That's keeping that gorgeous, velvety green lawn around the Capitol, that gorgeous institution I have the great honor and privilege to work in. So I think there's things we can still do. I think you should all, if those of you are interested, should do a deeper dive. But I think that there are methods we could use, given our increasing population and lack of water, which would do a better job of helping us conserve.